Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. The news for this week is exciting. Last Monday, after episode 11 posted, the iPhone iPod app was released. I went ahead and I purchased it for myself just to make sure it all worked smoothly. I have to say I liked it. Again, to get it, you have to download an app on the iTunes Store called Podcast Box. Then, once you have that, you find the show in its directory and buy it once for $1.99. You will have access to everything just like the Android app does, which includes wallpapers, video clips, and the original PDF papers. And also, we submitted the podcast to the BlackBerry podcast system. And I'll keep you abreast as to the status of that as I find out more. Sometime in the near future, we will be on Google, so you can listen on there, and as well as on Amazon.com. So be on the lookout for those as well. Again, the goal, besides bringing new men into Freemasonry and also providing light for current Masons, is to make this available in every facet possible. That way you never have to download or sign up for anything new. You'll be able to access it however you want, on whatever you want, whenever you want. So last week, we covered the Scottish Rites 11th through the 20th degree, and this week we will cover the 21st through the 30th, as well as a famous Freemason and some discussion, and also a research paper. I think we'll start off with the 21st through the 30th degrees in Scottish Rite. So here goes. The 21st degree, Noachite or Perusian Knight. The principal lesson of this degree is not to be conceited or belittle others. Nobody should rely on his wealth, nobility, heavenly, or worldly titles. We should be humble and modest and sincerely seek God's mercy, for God protects those who are sincere and honest. A Mason should never lose hope and confidence in the fact that correctness and honesty will always be victorious. The 22nd degree, Knight Royal Axe, or Prince of Labienus. Work is the mission of a man. We should respect our labor for its own sake and do our work. Manual and mental work complete one another. Thus, one who works in either manual or mental labor should not try to exploit or oppress others. A Mason must be a person who makes no distinction in the nature and kind of work in which his brother is engaged. The 23rd degree, Chief of the Tabernacle. In this degree, we are reminded that we owe our knowledge to our faith in a revealed God. Therefore, it is our duty to disseminate this knowledge to all mankind. A Mason who believes in God has a duty to acquire knowledge and disseminate this knowledge to other people so that others are also enlightened. A Mason who is generous with his knowledge knows that he will receive the blessing of God not by sacrificing living beings, but by destroying superstitions and bringing happiness and prosperity to other people. The 24th degree, Prince of the Tabernacle. This is a continuation of the last degree and examines the nature of knowledge. We must be vigilant, not to accept corrupted and erroneous echoes of real knowledge. We have to distinguish for ourselves what is truth, for many do not realize that they are in error, and when they think they have found the truth, as Masons we must fight continuously against superstitions, wrong knowledge, false prophets, tyrants, and despots. Our task is to free knowledge from the monopoly of classes, castes, leaders, or priests, and to disseminate to everyone. The 25th degree, Knight of the Brazen Serpent. This degree teaches that the virtue of hospitality, one who shows hospitality to guests is obliged not to differentiate race, nationality, or religion from whoever knocks at his door. The nature of Masonry is to heal those who are in distress from moral collapses, psychological crises, diseases by superstitions and ignorance, to save our fellows from these, to break the chains which represent moral slavery, to set men free, to be faithful and kind in every respect is the compulsory thing to do. We fulfill our destiny by recreating ourselves, by enlarging our knowledge. The 26th degree, Prince of Mercy. Practice forgiveness, be tolerant. Masons are to respect all beliefs that do not dirty sacredness. Masonry is not a religion, nor do its members belong to one religious order or any one religion. It embraces the truth in every belief and respects all of them. The truths of Masonry are contained within the religions of the world. Our task is to love all mankind, to be faithful to the agreement between the grand architect of the universe and ourselves. We should trust that we can attain his boundless affection and compassion, the mercy in the degree's title. That is, we can attain God's love. The 27th degree, Knight Commander of the Temple. This degree teaches that the virtues of knighthood and it asks us to adhere to its practices, these virtues in real life. Virtue requires duty, and both remain the same regardless of the times. The Knight Commander of the Temple learns that he is the manager of the time, that he himself will decide when he will perform his duty. He does not wait for orders or authorization. He is his own man, and his task is to abolish distress at just the right time. The 28th degree, Knight of the Sun, or Prince Adept. Be a lover of wisdom. This degree points out seven truths. There exists an indefinable and incomprehensible principle that governs the universe. Human life is but a speck of eternity. Universal equilibrium is the result of a balance between similarities and contrasts. The absolute is the soul in its proper essence. The visible is the invisible. Evil, disaster, and misery are indispensable for universal equilibrium. Similarities are only the keys for comprehending nature. The majority of men fail to realize their errors. Masons are required to take up the arduous struggle against error. The moral code of masonry is more extensive than that of just philosophy. The 29th degree, Scottish Knight of St. Andrew. In this degree, the Mason learns that there is no contradiction between religion and science, that religion can be better understood through science, and science can be better understood through religion. He who denies science is a fanatical, as he who denies religion. Our lifetime is limited in time, thus we must see God within its limited period of our time. Yet God transcends all time and his energy over and beyond time. There is no other energy that creates that energy. There is no end to that energy. Freemasonry is thus the continual effort to exalt the divine in man over the human so that we may become better to understand the nature of God in our time. The 30th degree, Knight Kadash, or Knight of the White and Black Eagle. This is the last of the philosophical degrees, to spread the sciences, to apply the virtues, to learn the sublime doctrines which enable humanity to live as one great family. This is the school of which Masonry is engaged. It is not within the realm of Masonry to punish oppressors and tyrants who enact barriers to brotherly love and affection. They are always punished in the course of history. It is our goal to defeat the passions and fanaticism which led to the oppression by spreading love and toleration. The Knight Kadash is always aware of his obligations. He is just, equitable, and respectful of all ideas. He battles for freedom of conscience. He opposes those who would attack these liberties, but material revenge is not in his thoughts and philosophy. He is a lover of great example. So there are the 21st through the 30th degrees. Next week, we will finish it up with the 31st through the 33rd. Stay synced for that. This week's famous Freemason is sure to interest all of the listeners out there who are fans of country music. Country music singer Brother Brad Paisley. Brad Douglas Paisley, born October 28th of 1972, is an American singer, songwriter, and musician. His style crosses between traditional country music and southern rock, and his songs are frequently laced with humor and pop culture references. Paisley was the 2008 CMA and ACM Male Vocalist of the Year winner. Starting with the release of his 1999 album, Who Needs Pictures, Paisley has recorded 7 studio albums and Christmas compilation on the Arista Nashville label, with all of his albums certified gold or higher by the RIAA. In addition, he has charted 25 singles on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Songs chart, 16 of which reached number 1 with a record 10 consecutive singles reaching the top spot on that chart. On November 10, 2010, Paisley won Entertainer of the Year award at the 44th annual CMA Awards. Paisley is a member of the Southern jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry and a noble, also known as the Shriners. He was accompanied by his father, Doug Paisley, a 32nd degree Mason, for the ceremony on October 28, 2006. I have to admit, I was really trying to find some very modern-day famous Freemasons, and he popped up right there. So needless to say, I was very happy to find him. Flipping through some older California Freemason magazines, I ran across a great article focusing on Brother Jim Nickerson and his question, "Are we alone in space?" I thought it might interest you to know what some of the Masons in the sciences are doing these days. So here is an article entitled, Are We Alone? Jim Nickerson Explores Deep Space and Asks the Really Big Questions. The Search for Life. In the 1960s television series Star Trek, humans embarked on a fictional mission to seek out other life in strange new worlds. In that mythology, the crew reported to Earth-based Starfleet headquarters in San Francisco. For brother Jim Nickerson, the real-life mission is based some 40 miles away in Mountain View. Nickerson, a master mason at Burlingame Lodge No. 400, is a mission supporter engineer at NASA Ames Research Center. It's a multi-mission operational center, meaning Nickerson's on hand to assist with computer hardware and networking for whatever mission arises. A few months ago, that involved blowing up the moon, as the media hyped NASA's LCROSS, the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite mission. The team launched a missile into the lunar surface, then analyzed the debris to prove that there was water on the moon, a major boon for deep space exploration. These days, Nickerson's work is devoted to the Kepler mission, searching distant stars for Earth-like planets. The mission has already discovered five gas giants like Jupiter. It has the potential to identify hundreds of Earth-like planets in the Milky Way alone and answer whether or not they might sustain life, whether it's life like ours, or life like we haven't yet imagined. A speck in the sky. Nickerson is a self-described geek, a label he wears with pride. But when his explanations trail off into ionospheres and other four-syllable words, he checks himself. To explain the challenges of the Kepler mission, he uses this analogy. Imagine a plant. On one leaf, imagine an ant. Then imagine a speck of dust on the ant. The whole thing is moving, and we're trying to take a picture of that speck of dust. A special telescope monitors the brightness of some 100,000 stars in deep space. A change in brightness means that an object has passed in front of the star. A reoccurring change means the object is actually a planet in orbit. Kepler scientists can judge the path and speed of the orbit, and from that, the size of the planet, how far it is from the star, and if life might survive there. As a computer engineer, Nickerson works intimately with Kepler's special computer system, fine-tuning it and helping the team interpret its results. They have an affectionate nickname for it, he says, which he cannot share because it's classified. The system turns streams of raw data, billions of numbers, into a picture for analysts. So the speck of dust could be a planet as far as 3,000 light years away, and it might have life on it. Bigger questions. Nickerson's work is an extension of what he does for fun. He can't resist building or rebuilding things from antique radios to old cars. He drives a lovingly restored 71 Camaro. He has too many hobbies to list in one breath, and he fancies retirement not as long days of relaxation, but as the opportunity to develop a secondary passion, flying. He wants to be a flight instructor. He has also logged countless hours piecing together a homebrew antenna and satellite station used to talk to people around the world via amateur radio frequencies. His greatest feat so far was a conversation with someone in the Marshall Islands. He sunk time and dollars to track down hardware and cobble together an advanced model that you can't find in any manual. And for what? Nickerson says, it's the time-old questions. Who's out there? Is anybody listening? That drive for connectedness is why, in Nickerson's opinion, the Kepler mission matters. For all of history, since we've been looking at the stars, the question has always been, what if we aren't alone in the universe? Nickerson says, but what if we don't find life, and we are alone? I think that's the more important question, because if we are alone, maybe we'll start caring more for each other. They were the good guys. Nickerson, 45, has two children, ages 7 and 4. He calls himself a paranoid dad and cites his kids as most important job and hobby. So, when he considers that question, it's not just as a scientist, it's as a father. It's also why he became a Mason. Growing up, the fraternity represented humanity at its best. We had family friends who were Masons, Nickerson says. I remember them from their strength and honesty. You could always rely on them. It was the 1970s, he explains, and there were a lot of bad things that a boy could get mixed up in or be disillusioned by. He saw the Masons in a different light. They were the good guys. In 2002, a neighbor helped him join the fraternity in South San Francisco. Nickerson has since affiliated with Closer Burlingame Lodge. There, he stepped in as a Tyler for the remainder of 2010, takes pride in his role as an investigator for degree applicants, and between meetings, stays in touch with Brothers of the Masons of California Facebook page. To boot, he's a member of the Scottish Rite and York Rite. In 2008, a co-worker, Evan Brewer, asked him about joining Masonry. Nickerson recalls with relish, "I made him work for it." Only after Brewer had proven his interest in Nickerson's satisfaction a test of time and persistence did Nickerson bring him to a lodge and dinner and help him apply. Brewer subsequently asked Nickerson for help with the ritual. "Because he was my buddy, I got to push him up to accelerate," Nickerson says, "and I ended up coaching him through all 3 degrees. It struck a chord, and Nickerson remains a candidate coach even today." Brewer, meanwhile, meets Nickerson at his home every month to drive to the lodge together. He still makes it a point to thank Nickerson after every stated meeting. We come in peace, plus truth, relief, and brotherly love. Weeks ago, battling after work hour rush traffic, and anxious to get home to his family, Nickerson merged onto the highway and saw an elderly man walking in the breakdown lane. He pulled over, an instinct, he says, more than reasoned decision. The man got in the car, thanked him for the ride. He was trying to walk home, but couldn't remember where his home was. He had an envelope in his pocket with an address some 10 miles in the other direction. Nickerson didn't have a GPS and didn't know the area, but phoned a friend who guided him through the directions. They pulled up to an address to find the man's wife sitting in the front yard waiting. She'd had the police out looking for her husband. She had been waiting there all day for him to come home. Nickerson is still bothered by what might have happened if he hadn't pulled over. He needed help. He needed somebody, Nickerson says. And I realized there was nothing more important in my day than helping him. I think God gave me that opportunity to help. We all get that opportunity every day. I was proud of myself for being a good Mason and for being a good human being. Nickerson continues, "I think that's why I value Masonry so much. Truth, relief, brotherly love. Those are the things that everybody needs, especially these days. Hopefully, when we do go into outer space," he adds, "we'll take those values with us." And that was from California Freemasons Magazine, June-July issue, 2010. This week's paper is an excerpt from a longer paper called A Bunch of Keys by Worshipful Brother G. Roy Long, past Grand Master of British Columbia. This excerpt is entitled An Enlightened Eye. "The lamp of the body is the eye, the great window of the mind. When we say, I see, we mean, I understand. Seeing is a complex physical mental process. Our eyes, like hands, reach out and bring inside to the brain meaningless images. The brain sends them along an intricate nerve highway to the house of the interpreter, where memory and experiences preside, with the question, what is this? They decode, classify, and identify, and when the brain gets its answer, we see informatively. The organ of sight and the faculty of vision are, therefore, quite different and distinct. See is always revealing. What we see depends on what we are. Do you remember the poem of childhood? Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to visit the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what saw you there? I saw a little mouse right under her chair. The cat had gone up to see the greatest city in the world, the city of St. Paul's, of Westminster Abbey, and of Buckingham Palace, for the express purpose to see the Queen. On her return, she had but one marvel to relate. She saw a mouse. Why? Simply because she was a cat. What we are determines what we see. There is a revealing phrase in one of the letters of St. Paul, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. This suggests other eyes, a seeing heart with spiritual insight and discriminant. We are reminded of the Snow White Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, say he, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. In the Book of Kings, there is an old and familiar story. The prophet Elijah had incurred the anger of the king of Syria, who with his army had pursued the prophet to the hill town of Dothan. The city was surrounded, and his capture seemed inevitable, without any possibility of escape. His servant, in fear and desperation, cries, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Then Elijah fell to his knees and prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." The young man's eyes were opened, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around and about Elijah. The servant saw only the seen and visible, and was blind to the encircling ministries of heaven. Elizabeth Barrett Browning voices this idea of a spiritual vision in oft-quoted lines, "Earth crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes." Many of us fail to see and fully understand because we look at persons and things and not in or through them. Isaac Newton looked and saw a falling apple, but he also looked through it and discovered the universal law that binds the entire universe into one coherent unity. Some weeks ago, in my duties as a solicitor to an estate, I went to the bank with a client to open his late wife's safety deposit box. We inventoried its contents, jewelry, bonds, and miscellaneous papers. From the back of the box, the bank official drew out 2 wrinkled and discolored baby shoes. Although of no intrinsic value, they had been treasured with loving care for almost a generation. When my client saw them, tears filled his eyes, as he told us of a lovely boy that had gone from their home over 30 years before. I looked at 2 baby things, faded and valueless from my point of view, but a father saw them with his heart and threw them in mind's eye, a happy home, a youthful wife, a laughing boy, and then the sudden impact of an agonizing loss. Few of us, as seers, ignorance, intolerance, prejudice, cynicism, envy, and doubt are hoodwinks that blind the eyes of human hearts. One of the chief perils of our time is a mental and moral blindness which refuses to see spiritual verities and divine significances in people and things. 20 centuries ago, one walked this earth with a seeing heart. He looked on all life with an enlightened eye. He invested all life with a halo. Nothing was to him commonplace or unclean. He walked the earth with reverent foot, and with a sense of awe and wonder, he came to see, to seek, and to save the least, the last, and the lost. Freemasonry teaches us not merely to see, but to see more than we see with the insight of the illuminated eye. A curve in the road and a hillside, clear cut against the sky, a tall tree tossed by an autumn wind, and a white cloud riding high. 10 men went along that road, and all but one passed by. He saw the road, the tree, and the cloud with an artist's mind and eye. He put them down on canvas for the other 9 to buy. My brethren, are we not often brother to those 9 unseeing men as we travel along life's broad and scenic highway? We have been brought to light, and much has been revealed to us and gained entrance through the eye's gate. But there is yet another portal through which we enter the treasuries of truth. The key word is listen. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. The master key is an attentive ear. Again, that was from an excerpt from A Bunch of Keys, a long Masonic paper. I will most likely read from that paper again in the near future. It was part of an address delivered to the conference of Grand Lodge officers of the 4 Western Masonic jurisdictions held at Banff, Alberta on September 8th, 9th, and 10th back in 1955. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. I would like to say thank you to a brother down under who wrote some nice words to me over the weekend. It was awesome to know that brothers are enjoying this podcast in Australia. That makes 3 somewhat far-off places I know we have some listeners: Japan, Australia, and Alaska. So thanks so much for listening. And with that, as always, visit us on the website at www.wentzkmu.blogspot.com to listen to the latest episode via Flash Player. If you want, you can do the same on Facebook by liking the show. Follow us on Twitter at WentzKMU and add us to your circle on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write to the show at that same address. And don't forget, if you're tired of syncing and you have an Android phone, get the WentzKMU Android app. And if you have an iPhone or an iTouch, get the Podcast Box app and get access to WentzKMU through it with a one-time in-app purchase of $2. All money goes right back into the show. Look for the BlackBerry Podcast app soon as well. And very soon, we will be on Google and Amazon.com for download. So until next week, take care and be safe. For WentzKMU, I'm Robert Johnson.